You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Ruyak. Forgotten Sacramento Murders, 1940 to 1976, is an array of short stories about real murders. The cases include unsolved mysteries, crimes of passion, robberies gone bad. The murders happened in diverse places such as bars, bridges, homes, and job sites. Joining us today is the author, David Kolchek. David, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Great to have you on Insight. So this is your fourth book. You're not new to this regarding true crime stories. What entices you to investigate murder, mayhem, madness in California? And, of course, in this latest book, Sacramento in particular.
Yeah, well, this is my fifth book, actually. And I just kind of found a niche as a historian and a writer. I think that it's just part of life. It's all fascinating. You know, most people I write about were normal, functioning, everyday people, and then just had one bad day.
Now, why the years 1940 to 76? Why not 1940 to 80?
Well, I found it interesting because it's kind of the start of the modern age, just a year before World War II, and then just before computers happen. And I just find that era, it's the era when people smoked in elevators.
So why do you think that people are so intrigued, fascinated with murder and unsolved crimes? And often these are grisly and horrendous crimes in nature, and yet people are fascinated by them.
I think it's because they're grisly and horrifying crimes, and people just like that. I mean, we're not that far removed from, the Middle Ages when, heads were on pikes and things. Sutter's Fort, those spikes that are above the gateway to Sutter's Fort, Sutter used to stick the heads of Indians, Native Americans on there that he didn't like. So it wasn't that long ago when, people were seeing hangings in public, paying tickets for it. People are weird, I guess. I don't know. I'm a historian.
Well, I know you have a passage that you'd like to read. So what are you going to be reading for us?
Well, this is just the introduction of the book. And when I was putting this together, I just found these senseless murders. And I also found that a lot of them were committed by people with PTSD. Everyone was terrorized back then from the war. Everyone knew someone who died. The soldiers were coming back. They weren't all there. They'd crack. I have probably four cases in this book about veterans who cracked. And, even into the 1950s, there would be a story about some guy who was wounded during World War II who died from his injuries, 12 years later.
So that's an interesting thread then that you discovered in your research.
Yeah. That and combined with like the Great Depression, that whole generation they were terrorized. They all had PTSD. My own father used to wake up, he'd take a nap, and my sister would be like, you do it. Cause he'd wake up, sitting straight up, just like, ah.
So this is the introduction to your book, then?
Yes. This is a book about 63 deaths that occurred in Sacramento between 1940 and 1976. 42 men and 21 women who had their lives snuffed out like a Jesus candle from the dollar store. Six innocent children were taken out of the game before they understood the rules. 13 wives, ex-wives, and girlfriends met their fate at the hands of the person they shared their deepest feelings with. Three husbands committed suicide after they murdered their wives. Almost half the murders were carried out by strangers. 30 were murdered by firearms, 26 were beaten to death, and 3 were stabbed. I wrote about 3 suicides, a Sacramento pioneer who outlived his children, a young washed-up Air Force pilot, and an aging businessman on the brink of losing everything. These are the crimes of the greatest generation who murdered just as well as the generations before or after.
I'm talking with David Kolchek about his new book, Forgotten Sacramento Murders, 1940 to 1976. So how have your books been received by audiences? Do you get fan mail?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what do they ask you?
I don't get asked much. I get told stories a lot. A lot of people will write me and tell me something about what they read in my books and something they added to it or something that they thought might be. So I interact with them a lot, actually.
So I know you have a couple of anecdotes. I'm curious what you have found through this research that's interesting, surprising, a discovery. A couple, I think, that you mentioned that you wanted to talk about the Mad Basher.
Oh, yeah, the Mad Basher. This is a pretty well-known story, the Mad Basher, 1941. He beat to death middle-aged migrant workers in Old Sac. And back then, Old Sac was, you know, the den of vice. You know, that's where you could, anything went in Old Sac.
And what was the year, that
That was
one?
In 1941. There were five men that were beaten to death by him that they know of. There were a bunch of them pinned on it. But what I found out is that 17 years later, in 1956, four similar murders happened again. So there was a theory that others had written about, is that why did the Mad Basher's crime stop a month before Pearl Harbor happened? Was he a lifer in the military? There was always a report that the car was like a green, olive green vehicle, which would be like an army one. Big army bases right here then, Army Air Force, Mather and McClellan. So could he have gotten transferred, or did he get thrown in prison for something else? 17 years is about what you would do for murder, especially back then. So was he incarcerated for a completely different crime, and when he came out, committed these other four crimes? No one knows, but it kind of looks like it.
So this is a cold case, one that's never been resolved.
It's never been resolved, and the police really didn't, back then they didn't really investigate like they do now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some ridiculous things, like one of the victims was found, and then a few hours later, some shepherds found another guy just 20 feet away. Like the cops and ambulance people didn't look around. You know, they would have found another guy there.
Yeah, no DNA.
Oh, yeah, that didn't happen either, yeah.
And there was another one, Ladies' Man.
Yeah, the Ladies' Man happened actually right where we are right now. In 1950, this guy, he was, actually I'm not prepared to talk about this one at this very second.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to flip through to get the names right and stuff. But this guy went to Mexico, tricked women into marrying him, come back here. He already had a family that he had violently beaten. He lived right here on this Sac State campus. And back then, it was pretty much like this was a garbage dump. This is where the trains went by, you know, on the main line, spewing smoke and that. And they're just basically shacks and sheds that people lived here. Now, this guy would tell these women that he was a rich guy in Sacramento, and then when he'd bring them here, they were objected to what they saw. He would kill them, cut them in half, throw them in the river, and he did that to two people. The one thing I really want to talk about, and okay, if you don't mind, is the Boogeyman, and this happened in 1956. All right, this was in the theater on K Street. It's still a theater. I forget which one it is. It goes from the IMAX. And these three brothers went to the movie theater, and the little boy had to go to the bathroom. Now, everywhere I've ever lived, I've always heard the story about the little boy goes into the restroom by himself, and he gets attacked by a man. Well, that actually happened here. As far as I can tell, this is where it happened. I even heard the story. I grew up in Michigan. I heard that story. I've heard it here. I've heard it in Washington State. And but it really happened here. And the guy was this big, lurking mortician apprentice. And he followed the little boy into the restroom and cut his throat. And the manager heard the commotion, came in there and stopped him in that. But that happened right here. in Sacramento.
Good grief. So is there any particular story after doing all this research and kind of living with the idea of murder that keeps you up or is close to your heart or you think about more often than others?
No. I could turn this on and off. I've been a journalist and things like that, and I've had to deal with stories that were emotional, but I had to be detached from it somehow. And I attack these books as a historian, and I go for the facts. So
what about
it doesn't bother me.
The unresolved ones, is there one that just sticks out in your mind that people are still looking at maybe all these years later that how could they possibly not have found out who did this horrendous crime?
Well, the book, what I wrote about were the forgotten ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows? You know, somebody said, wow, my Uncle Joe got murdered in 1951. You know, only cousins and, you know, people forget about it. I like to go back to see about these crimes and, you know, what just happened to Uncle Joe. The worst one I could find is Delinda Diaz. And she was, it was in 1950. She got a phone call at her work. She worked at a cannering factory and said, come home right away. There's been a murder. So she runs out. She was never seen again. Her body was found 8 months later. And she was from this really close family. Her husband was cleared. No one knows what happened to her.
To this day.
To this day. And they found her body out on like Gerber Road or something.
Wow. Well, that is David Kolchek talking about his new book, Forgotten Sacramento Murders, 1940 to 1976. He's hosting a Dead Talk, and that is tonight at Time Tested Books at 7 o'clock this evening. David, thanks for being on Insight.
Thanks for having me.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.